Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. We have a spring matching gift campaign. It's titled No Retreat. Why? Because we're being encouraged to retreat. And the Bible tells us, don't. Stand firm. Be immovable. Fixed. And that is our determination. We are going to stand firm with your support. Right now, we have a matching gift campaign. And we would love it if you would join us as a gospel partner so we can continue to produce new podcasts, new books, biblical resources, go to more campuses, and expand our digital social media footprint. We want to reach more people with the glorious news of the gospel. We're determined to stand firm and not retreat. Will you join us right now? All gifts are doubled because it is a matching gift campaign. To learn more and to join us as a gospel partner, FortisInstitute.org/donate.
What is?
What is?
What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today I am trying to talk you into becoming a missionary. And I wish I were kidding. Da-na-na-na. Intro music, please, Jimmy. Ba-ma-ma-ma. All right, this is part two in biblical counseling and missions, trying to paint a portrait of what it would be like to use our skills, our interests, and our passions in biblical counseling to serve the unreached and to serve missionaries. Now, before we jump back in, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you are following us, you're a subscriber, and if you have a chance, do leave a rating for us. I'll take a one star at this point, guys. You know, I'm open to whatever you got. They actually provide great humor as I read through some of them. So rate according to your conscience. Okay, grab your Bibles, and I'd like you to open up with me to Matthew 28, which we will get to here in a second. But you may remember from last week, I finished the episode with a C.H. Spurgeon quote. Charles Spurgeon is one of my favorite authors and preachers. I think it's because he was Baptist. And I was Baptist. I was ordained in a Southern Baptist church, grew up in the Independent Baptist, went to a Southern Baptist seminary. Oh, yeah. I got my Baptist. I've baptized before. That's true. I have dropped someone while baptizing them also. That's a story for another time, but it is true nevertheless. Spurgeon would not be proud, I'm sure. So Spurgeon has really had a huge impact on my life, I think in part because he's a little more reformed in his soteriology, yet he's very evangelistic and was really big on winning souls and expositional teaching. I bring him up because he said this, when we talk about missions, this is the way we should frame it. Put it on this footing. We ought to put it on this footing. Not can I prove that I ought to go, but can I prove that I ought not to go? When we read of heroic men who gave up all for Jesus, we're not merely to admire, but to imitate them. Heroic men, don't think of Jim Elliot and think I could never be that, or William Carey or Adoniram Judson. Don't think of those individuals as having some superpower and courage that you and I will never attain to. Think like these are ordinary guys that just believed God and trusted that God would provide and use their lives as a means of helping the gospel get out there. Last episode, I put out, I was like, hey guys, think of it this way. Biblical counseling is a skill that you learn and you can use this skill to serve the nations and in two primary ways. The first is member care. And this is an unfortunate truth, but it's a truth nevertheless that there are certain missions agencies that have clinical psychologists that are doing the work of psychology on the member care individual. So think, as member care, you are required as a missionary to go to member care on the occasion, especially when you're coming off the field. And what are you getting? Reheated Carl Rogers, or you're getting reheated Sigmund Freud, or some version of CBT therapy or EMDR. some weird theory of trauma. Okay, so what does that mean? We need biblical counselors to be trained and to go get endorsed by missions agencies, be onboarded with them to become their member care experts. And that takes skill, education, and experience. I think you should consider doing a degree at the Master's University, do your MABC in missions, and get certified in ACBC, and then go apply to these different agencies. We need biblical counselors to be doing the work of member care. So I said that last week. I won't belabor that point too much. Local nationals also need care. So instead of thinking, all right, I'm going to go care for the missionary as they care for people, you're thinking, I'm going to use my skills to go to an impoverished area and to help individuals struggling in poverty. Or I'm going to use my skills to go to this first world metropolis and use what I know about biblical counseling to serve those in this area. And honestly, that is exactly what lit my fire for biblical counseling missions or ministries worldwide, BCMW. That is the missions agency that I partner with, BCMW, Biblical Counseling Ministries Worldwide. It used to be OIC, for those of you that are familiar with OIC. In 2024, my wife and I said, why not? Why not go to Japan and try to reach the second most unreached people group with whatever skills that we can? And in God's providence, Dr. Andrew Rogers asked if I would be able to help with the Japan team for what was OIC, but it's now BCMW. I go to Tokyo, usually every other year is the rhythm so far, and I take my entire family with me. We raise support, and some of you know that I have used speaking engagement money to go towards the cost of our missions in Japan. We go and we serve churches in Tokyo, the largest city in the world. And how do we do that? Teaching in biblical counseling, training in biblical counseling, and working with a Japanese Biblical Counseling Association to help train biblical counselors in Japan. Guys, I am there with you, doing this with you. And when we went the first time a few years ago, we didn't know if this was God relocating us to Japan or if this was God keeping us at Masters and serving in Japan while at Masters. And so as things currently are, we see that our gifts are best used here at Masters while then serving on missions teams to Japan. The reality is that the work is just beginning in biblical counseling and missions. In fact, I would connect the dot back to what was taught to me in my introduction to biblical counseling directly from Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Notice what Jesus says to the disciples up in Galilee post-resurrection. Jesus is commissioning them. First of all, he has all authority. It is an indicator of the success of his earthly mission. He demonstrates that when he ascends to the right hand of the Father and he sits down. Mission accomplished. Check. Jesus is omnipotent. He commissions them to go and make disciples. There's evangelism and discipleship. Go make disciples, seek converts, persuade men, be reconciled to God. Go do that work and baptize them. We believe in believer's baptism, meaning you should be a Christian to be baptized. And part of that work of baptism is a response in faith by the individuals that are making that declaration. So check, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, part of the Great Commission, here it is, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. Teaching them to keep. Have you ever thought about it through this angle? Part of the task of the Great Commission is teaching not just what Jesus said, which is important, Sermon on the Mount, we're working through the Gospels, we're in the Upper Room Discourse. Yes, absolutely, those are important. So yes, it is teaching what Jesus said, but teaching people to keep or to observe all that I have commanded you. There is a discipleship in the how. How do I follow Jesus? Not just that you need to follow Jesus, but you need help and practical equipping in how to do that. Have you ever thought that an aspect of the Great Commission is discipling people in how to follow Jesus? It's like, well, of course, Dr. Gifford, like, of course that's what it is. It's like, oh yeah, so tease it out a little bit. How to follow Jesus as a parent and be a godly parent. how to follow Jesus as a worker, how to follow Jesus in your singleness, how to follow Jesus when you struggle with depression, how to follow Jesus when you struggle with guilt. Practically speaking, we need discipleship, and discipleship is just not conversion and then done. It's growing in how to be a better follower of Jesus. And when I use those like emotional and relational problems and say how to follow Jesus in your marriage and how to follow Jesus as a parent and in your anxiety, it makes perfect sense. It's like biblical counseling does that. We are equipped perfectly to be able to step on the field and say, hey, look, this is how you become a parent that follows Jesus, is not controlling, and trust the product to the Lord. Guys, biblical counseling is a form of, not the form, but is a form of fulfilling the Great Commission. You got to know that. A friend of mine, Ernie Baker, said that a fulfillment of the Great Commission comes in biblical counseling. I believe that. If you believe that biblical counseling is simply discipleship, whether it's problem-oriented or intensive discipleship, then what are we doing? We are serving the nations with the skills that God has given us. That is through the work of the Great Commission. Biblical counseling is fulfilling that work. It's important to know that James 1:19 and 21, it says, don't only be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. We don't want to just teach people to hear, but we want them to hear and then respond in obedience. We are training doers of the word in biblical counseling. Seriously. Even if someone's saved tomorrow in Japan, if we go to Tokyo this summer and a person makes a profession of faith, what is the next step for them? Discipleship, maturity, teaching them how to obey. I want you to see that in all of this flow, biblical counseling is about making disciples, and we need to then take the skills that the Lord has given to us to the nations, and I would even argue to the unreached nations. It used to be the 1040 window. For those of you that are missiologists, we know that there are now gateway cities in America where those from the 1040 windows are coming to us. But I would Google joshuaproject.net. I mentioned that website last episode, and it has a listing of all the unreached people groups in the world. Not in America, but in the world. So let me do this. Let me take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to make one more biblical appeal to you and give you some practical ideas on how to pull it all together. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment, who's continuing to make his case this week that biblical counseling is missions work. And as he stated last week, that connection might surprise you a little bit because most people think missions means preaching on foreign soil. But Greg is arguing that it also means equipping local believers to actually follow Jesus through their marriage problems, through depression and parenting struggles and anxiety, using skills the Lord has already given you. The Master's University trains counselors who end up everywhere from California neighborhoods to Tokyo apartments. And Greg himself talks about taking his family to Japan to serve Japanese churches through biblical counseling. That's the kind of integration that TMU builds into students, theology that travels. And so if you have a high school senior in your home, or maybe you're looking and thinking about going back to school yourself, there's no better place to start your search than the Master's University. You can start the conversation with the folks at the Master's University by visiting masters.edu/manhood. And while you're on the internet, I want to also urge you to head over to fortisplus.org. Download the app to your smartphone, your smart TV, or again, you can visit it on the web at fortisplus.org, and you have available to you hundreds of hours of audio and video content, absolutely free of charge, I might add. See what I'm talking about? It's free. You have nothing to lose. Go to fortisplus.org right now. And let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Jimmy, thank you so much. You are such a bud. Thanks for your help. Thanks for the plug. Of course, I am at Masters, as Jimmy mentions regularly. I love this place, and I am so thankful to get to teach biblical counseling here. Now back to today's episode. In the last segment, I said this, look, there's member care, there's caring for the local national, there's the fulfillment of the Great Commission, and this is the last biblical component that I would like to give to you. There is the bivocational ministry of the word. Remember what the Thessalonians were wrestling with and how Paul addresses them based off his own response while with them. The Thessalonians had people that were moochers. I've talked about them on Transform before. The church was so nice that people were taking advantage of them. So Paul says, hey, remember the way that we conducted ourselves while we were with you. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy. He says, we command you, brothers. And then in verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we did not act in an unruly manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the authority, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would imitate us. Paul uses bivocational ministry, you've heard of tent making before, as a strategic part of his mission strategy, so that, I think I said strategic and strategy in the same sentence. Ooh-wee, that's a lot of strategy. A strategic strategy. Not a non-strategic, never mind. Yes, it's like, all right, so what is he doing? He's working so that he can't be accused of using the Corinthians or using the Thessalonians, and he tells both of them this. But the principle here is he works, and then he tells the Thessalonians they have to work and labor to eat their own bread. In verse 12, at the end, they eat their own bread. Work with quietness, eat their own bread. Provide for yourself like we provided for ourselves. We set an example for you. Bivocational ministry, I want you to think of it this way. Bivocational ministry is a strategy that you take where you have a meaningful form of employment and you use that so that you don't need to be paid for your ministry. You can take the job you have, and some of you can go anywhere in the world with that job. Seriously, you can go teach at a university overseas. You can teach English as a second language. You're an entrepreneur. You just need a laptop and a Wi-Fi connection. You do not have to be physically present. Have you ever thought about your job as part of the strategy for how you could do biblical counseling and missions? You know, the Moravians are known for many things, and I don't endorse all of their theology, but they were known for being expert missiologists, and one of the strategies that they had was tent making. They would learn a skill, go to the country that they were trying to reach and practice that skill, mechanic, electrician, plumbing, so a practical skill or trade, and then they would begin to plant churches with groups of Moravians in that area. The basic thought was learn a skill, serve the nations. And I would add, learn a skill, learn the Bible, serve the nations. Many of you do not need to go and to change jobs. You could work from wherever you want in the world. Would you think about doing that for missions? And in particular, getting trained in biblical counseling and going and serve the nations. Guys, there is a sense in which I am bivocational. As I record these episodes, I'm a full-time educator. That is my job. And then I get to do additional things like transform or write or teach or go to Japan as a missionary. Bivocational ministry and missions may very well be the future of what ministry looks like. Would you consider using the great career that the Lord has given you to reach the nations? Just think about it for a second. Don't quit your job. Use it as the way that you're funding your missions work. Think about using it for missional business. How could you go overseas, get a visa, business visa, and actually practice your trade in that overseas context? How could you work remotely? Some of you have so much time off, you don't know what to do with it. Seriously, it's like you can work as little as you'd like. Have you ever thought about using your summers or taking gospel-centered vacations? Some of you should use your vacation time more strategically. And if you're just being candid, you're going to answer to the Lord for 3 months off in the summer, or 2 months off if you're an educator. You're going to answer to the Lord for that. Do you want to answer to the Lord for saying, Lord, there were a lot of pool times and some pina coladas, hey? Or would you prefer to answer to the Lord and say, Lord, you gave me this opportunity to serve you in very intentional ways? Guys, my two cents is use your time, yes, to be refreshed, yes, to spend time and have leisure with family. Yes, those can be right and good, but be strategic with your time off. When I say gospel-centered vacation, have you ever thought about using part of your vacation to do missions work? So you want to go see the world. You're going to Spain. Great, go to Spain. Paul didn't make it, you go. And when you're there, spend a couple of days serving the churches and missionaries in Spain. You want to go to Japan? Great, let's go. Come with us. And go sightseeing, go explore, go to Mount Fuji, and yet spend a couple of days serving the churches of Japan. What if, as a family, a couple, or an individual, you said, you know what, Dr. G, that's right. I could use my vacations to be a little more strategic. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Sometimes when my family comes back from a vacation, I think like, that was not relaxing at all. It was not enjoyable. And when the boys were young, they're fighting with each other. It's like we come home from vacation depleted. You want to see something be really beautiful? Watch your family serve others and watch the way that replenishes you. So what sounds nicer, spending 3 days at Disney or watching your family work together to serve others? Ooh, child. Number one, I hate Disney, so that's not hard. And that's not even for ideological reasons. My feet hurt. And I can't take a nap anywhere. There's no napping benches. But then number two, it's like, it is really sweet to watch your heart, you and your spouse, you and your kids start to cultivate a heart for the people group or the nation and country that you're trying to serve. So think about it. A couple of thoughts on how to do it. Some of you are thinking, hey, Dr. G, this is overwhelming. I don't know anything about missions. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. Look for an agency that serves in the country that you'd like to go to and then start to talk with them. A lot of agencies, especially as they're larger missions agencies, they have onboarding professionals and you can reach out to them and just basically express your interest. There are short-term workers that many of you would typically be where you're going to go for a season, not for a life. Great. Just start to have the conversation. An agency helps you. They help you learn the country. They give you resources. They provide credibility and support. So how would I do that? I would actually start to Google missions agencies in the country that I'm looking to. And why would I do that? Because you want the help. And you have professional missionaries, so to speak, that double back to help others. So if you're like averse to bureaucracy, I get it. And some of you are like, yo, Dr. G, I'm never going to go through a long interview process to raise my own support. And I get it. I totally understand that bureaucracy can be annoying at times. But you're also missing accountability and resources. If you show up without an agency on the field, missionaries will often see you as being a lone ranger. There are question marks. Who do you report to? Does your church support what you're doing? Does anybody know? So think of it like an important Roman citizenship issue. Like I want to show up on the field saying, yes, I've been endorsed by the IMB or Reach Global or whichever agency that you use. Who am I sent out by? Who am I part of? The Biblical Counseling Ministries Worldwide Agency. Google them, BCMW. I was first endorsed by GEMS, the Japanese Evangelical Missionary Society. And then we took the biblical counseling pathway and were endorsed with BCMW. That is important because as soon as I say, hey, I'm with BCMW, or formerly known as OIC, people are like, bam, oh, I get it. I know that organization. And I say, totally, that's who we're a part of. We're here to help teach. People know my predecessor, and it becomes actually a way of developing credibility with individuals. So if you're like remotely serious, just start to tinker with that. If you start to tinker with that, would you just be open to what God can do? You're going to say like, how are we going to pay for this? Could we do this every year? It's like, guys, just walk by faith and watch the way that the Lord will work. This is my third year doing Japanese missions, and it has become so much fun. It's an integral part of my family where we think like, hey, we're learning Japanese. We're housing international students. We're going to Little Tokyo. It has become a fun part of our own family's culture. So don't be fearful. Be excited about what God can do. And email me to let me know what the Lord is doing. If you're taking steps in this direction, there's two things I would love to have. I'd love to have you as a student in our Master of Arts program in missions, seriously. And then second, I would love to have an email from you, greg@transform.org. Email me and let me know what you're doing so I can encourage other listeners to take similar steps. All right, we got to be done. Let me pray. Lord, I pray that you would use these two episodes to encourage brothers and sisters listening to be faithful. Some of us have just never thought how we could do it. We have 5 weeks off a year. We don't need all of that. Can we just use a week to go and serve the unreached with biblical counseling skills? Lord, I think the answer is yes. Would you stir? Would you allow for listeners here to zoom out. And if they're in their 40s and 50s and life is stable and income is predictable and they know where they're going to live next year, Lord, would you allow for listeners to be good stewards of that? Our life is not for our own ease and accumulation. Lord, help individuals listening to be faithful to the Great Commission. The gospel still must go out. So let's use our skills. Lord, let us use our skills, I pray. Lord, help us to be faithful. We're farmers, and you're the one that produces the increase, I know. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.